This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 323. We're up to the next film in the Jack Ryan franchise. We're up to Patriot Games, starring a new actor. That's right, Mr. Sir Harrison Ford. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
And for those of you out there, this film came out in 1990. Now, Nate, can you please let everyone know our special guest for all of them?
This will be his last special introduction from now on. He'll just get a regular one since he's on for the next 3 years. So we have a guest. He was here last week and he's back again. This is Evan. Popculture 33 is his handle. Evan, just a reminder, say hello to everybody and let them know where they can find you.
You can find me at Popculture 33 on Instagram and YouTube.
There you go. That's where he is. He's on Instagram. He's on YouTube. Follow, and he's on our podcast for the next like month. So you could find him here too.
All right, guys. So let's get right into the financials, and then we're going to get to Rotten Tomatoes scores, and then we're going to go right into our movie reviews. Okay, so check this out. Harrison Ford took over from, of course, Alec Baldwin, right? The film, okay, this film budget was $45 million. Not bad. Mm-hmm. Not bad. We do not know how much Harrison Ford got paid for this, but it's not bad.
32.
Worldwide total of $178 million. A successful film.
Yes.
So are you guys shocked with these numbers?
No, because the first one did well. Also, this is prime Tom Clancy time. I think this book was only written a couple years before this movie came out, like late 80s. And Harrison Ford is huge star. So no, not surprised.
Yeah. So just to give everyone a little numbers, The Hunt for Red October in 1990, that's why I was getting confused, was the budget was $30 million. So it was lower by $15 million. The worldwide total was $200 million. So it made kind of the same, right? I mean,
they were in the ballpark. It made a little bit, it had a lower budget and it made a little more money. So the profit was better, but this one was still a success.
Yeah, it is a success. All right. So let's check out if it's a success with the critics and the audience when Harrison Ford took over.
Well, I don't know if you guys remember this, but last week we had one of the first times in history where the critic score and the audience score was the exact same number. Almost never happens. Super rare. And guess what? For the second time in history, the audience score. The critic score is the exact same number. This is weird. So both of these, but they are down from the last movie. I'm sure Evan will revel in this. This a 16% dip on both. So they were both an 88. And for the first movie, this is a 72 and a 72. So still good, still positive, still the same number, but down a bit from the first.
Not bad. Not bad at all. It is a dip, but yeah, interesting. Evan?
Yeah, I mean, don't forget, Harrison Ford was at his prime, but it has no Sean Connery. And don't forget, Sean Connery did still bring in multi-generations where Harrison Ford is about to really get to that stage of everyone seeing him. This is his going into that next phase of not just bringing the young kids, but also the older generation too.
All right, well, let's get right into it, okay? Let's get into the movie review. We're going to start it off with Evan because he is the Jack Ryan expert. He's our analyst for Jack Ryan. So Evan, take it away with lead character. Now Harrison Ford is in the role as Jack Ryan. Let us know what you think.
Well, first of all, this book is a prequel. So if you follow the series, it's set before Hunt for the Red October. But because of Harrison Ford comes in, they have to set it after and then age him and then retire him because he's no longer in the CIA. This is kind of, so it flip-flops completely in storyline. And then when Harrison Ford comes on, back and forth on how he got picked. Supposedly Alec Baldwin asked for too much money the studio says, well, we could get Harrison Ford for that much money. And he held his ground and they said, okay, we'll get Harrison Ford. and Harrison Ford turned it down the first one because they said that he kind of said it was all about Sean Connery and I didn't want to be in another movie with Sean Connery because of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. But he says yes to this. And then Alec Baldwin is pushed to the side. But Harrison Ford, I think, comes on and I cannot compare the two. So I love Alec Baldwin, but I think Harrison Ford takes Jack Ryan perfectly for his take. This is a perfect 90s Harrison Ford movie. If I if I don't look at it as a sequel, even though it is a sequel, because there's two hints that it is a sequel, and then I don't like it. But if I just look at it as Harrison Ford taking on Jack Ryan, I like it. And I think you get enough character. You get family more. You get him as a family guy. You get a lot more of who Jack Ryan is than I think in the first one. And I think Harrison Ford does it great. And I think the script as well. I gave it 4.5.
Okay. All right. Nice. Fair. You know, it's kind of funny. You brought that. I did not know that this was a prequel to all. I mean, in terms of books, I didn't know this was a prequel to all the stories. So interesting. Yeah. All right, Nate.
Thank you for the info. You know what? It's funny that you said all that because I've never seen this one. So these two, the Harrison Ford ones, are the ones I've never, ever seen in my whole life. And okay. The Sum of All Fears I saw in the theater when I was young, and I honestly don't remember it. So that's going to be pretty much a first time watch. I thought it was weird because this feels like, now that you said that, Evan, I wonder if, okay, it's fine that they didn't make it a prequel because obviously Harrison Ford older. No problem. Yeah. But I don't know why this felt like it should have been the fourth movie of a franchise. Like, he's retired. He's old. I'm like, dude, just in the last movie, he was just like in his prime. And now, okay, I get he's a little older, but like that aspect of it was weird to me. I feel like they could have sequelized it without making it like it retired and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like the daughter was still little. In the first movie, she was little. So like, what? Anyway, I liked him. I thought he was good. I like Harrison Ford in this role. You know, it's for me, I have not seen a lot of Harrison Ford movies from like this time period. I know Indiana Jones and Star Wars, and then I know like modern, but like a lot of his 90s stuff, besides like What Lies Beneath, I didn't really... Yeah. Which, or it might have been 2000. I didn't really get into. And so I know him as this grumpy old man now. So it was good to see him before he reached there where he still had, you know, like some likability and charisma. I could see the appeal after, you know, like the older version of the Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford. I thought he was great. He is definitely a different take than Alec Baldwin. He's more, I'll compare the two. Since you don't do it, I'll do it. He's more action-y than Alec Baldwin was. He's more, you know, like even that opening scene where he shoots the guy, he's like jumping into action and then he's like, I had rage or whatever he said. You know what I mean? Like he just had to shoot the guy. And yeah, but I dug it. I thought he was different than Alec Baldwin, but as effective. So I think Jack Ryan, even here, and I like the stuff with the wife and the kid. I love the stuff in the hospital when he's with the daughter. It shows that,
oh yeah,
you know, the fatherly stuff. And also, even though we're not scoring, if I was like my age now in the early 90s, I would have had a huge crush on Ann Archer. I love her. You know, she's super old now, but every time I see her in one of
these, you still like her, dude.
Yeah, I'm like, she's gorgeous. I love Ann Archer. So shout out to her. I give him a 5. I still loved him. I thought he was great, but different than Baldwin.
Yeah. Okay. There's a reason why the studio said Alec Baldwin, I ain't giving you the money. We're going to give it to Harrison Ford. I do understand the comparisons between the two. You could totally see it. But in this version, I liked it because he was a seasoned version of Jack Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I don't know what version we were going to get if Alec Baldwin returned. Is it going to continue being the younger version, a little bit more finesse into his, because he was young, Alec Baldwin at this time. So did they go with the right choice? I do agree with Nate. This does feel like a part 5 or 6 of an anthology freaking Jack Ryan, but I'm okay with it because it's not like they gave it to you in a storyline that made sense when you're watching it. It wasn't like, I mean, I guess if you watch it back to back, you're going, damn, this dude was like mad young here, and then you put on the next movie and he's that old. But I thought it worked well as a novel. Like if you look at it as a novel, it worked very well. Harrison Ford has this charisma on screen with family or this type of script that it works. And I liked him a lot in this movie. Was he an analyst? They gave you the analyst part when he's looking for that chick with the satellite. You got all that. Is he action? No, he's not an action star when you read the books, but Harrison Ford gave him a trait that was pretty much different from Alec Baldwin. And I was like, mm-hmm. Okay, I'm cool with that. I mean, you got everything. You got him and Jack Greer, friendship there with James Earl Jones. That still was there. Him and Kathy, mm-hmm. You got the... I love the family aspect. I mean, I always like Jack Ryan with the family stuff because it just fits. I love that. When she goes, hey, I want pancakes. And he goes, well, we don't have pancakes, but we got toast and toast. And she goes, oh, I have toast. And he was like, all right, toast it is. Like, I thought that stuff is fun. And I don't know. At the end of everything, I liked it. I thought it was really cool. And I thought you got everything you needed in the Jack Ryan. Now, if you don't read it, it's great. If you read it, you might have tons of problems if you read all 90 books. But yeah, what you got, Evan?
All right. I've read it and I like the changes. So yeah. I'm not a purist. I want you to take a book and do your own thing with it. Yeah. Get the heart of the character, get the heart of the story and do it. So I didn't mind the changes. I think Harrison Ford goes with it. I mean, I tell people this is a perfect Harrison 90s action movie that we're going to get, even late 80s, because you got Presumed Innocent. You have this Harrison Ford movie Witness and stuff where he kind of goes on the run. Then you're going to have The Fugitive and all these type of movies. Here's this out of those like five movies that he kind of does in this like 10-year period, this one for me is a perfect Harrison Ford character avenue for that type of movie that he kind of gets famous for.
And if I get it. I think Baldwin was the better analyst. He seemed more like that job than Harrison Ford does in this.
He didn't have, Alec Baldwin pulled off the, I don't actually have to be actually looking at something to make you think that I'm researching. He could sit there and kind of do that look. Yeah. Harrison Ford has to kind of, they kind of say, here's him doing it, which I loved more of. But if you notice, he doesn't pull off that. Because remember, and there's that scene when he's with, in the Han Ford, he goes, son of a bitch, right? Mm-hmm. I got it. Harrison Ford does it in this. And it's just kind of lame. He kind of goes, son of a bitch. And like, oh, really? That doesn't, like, I didn't believe you at all on that one, buddy. But, so... But I mean, that's so minute. You won't notice it unless you're a geek like me.
No, I totally get it. I honestly, I think it blends well between the two actors. It's not like a drastic change between the two. So I thought it worked either way. All right. So a five for me.
Five.
Okay. Yeah, I give him a five. You give him a five. Evan gave him a 4.5, right?
Yes.
Yep. All right. 4.5. All right. Main villain.
That's only me being a stickler.
It's all right. You gave him 4.5. All right. Main villain is my man, Sean Bean, is back. This dude is always a villain. In everything. Yeah. He was a villain in GoldenEye.
Yeah.
He dies in everything.
He does. He's Papa Stark. He gets his head chopped off in Game of Thrones. So, all right. Here we go. Nate, what do you give?
Sean Miller.
Sean Miller.
Sean Miller.
Irish. Yeah, Irish.
Part of the IRA, but he's like a renegade IRA member. Okay.
Shane Miller.
Shane. Okay. I knew his name was Miller.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the thing with the villain. I thought he was good. There's one thing that irked me, and it's the thing that prevents the five for me. And this may not be for you guys. That's fine. First of all, okay, so let me just paint the picture real quick for people if you've never seen this. Basically, in the beginning, him, his brother, another guy, and a lady, they're trying to do an assassination attempt on the King of England? I think that's who he is, right? Isn't he?
No, cousin.
Cousin of the queen. He's a royal in England, right? Yeah. And they're trying to do an assassination attempt on him. Jack Ryan sees it. He interferes.
Kidnapping.
That's right. And then he shoots the brother. Sean Bean's character, he gets arrested, okay? And they're part of the IRA, it turns out. But they're like, they're not fully aligned with the IRA. Like, they're in it, but they're also like more rebel, renegade.
Extreme.
Like, yeah, extremist of that, right? So he goes to jail, they bust him out, and he vows revenge on Jack Ryan for killing his brother. And I'm okay with that. So far, we got a good villain. And I like Sean Bean, so we got a good villain. Now, the other guys, I don't really care about that much. Like, the other, like, guy who's like his kind of like over him, didn't care for the lady, didn't care for, they just didn't get the same development, I feel like. And their motivation wasn't as, he had a direct motivation, which I like. My problem with him is he, like, it almost becomes like ridiculous to the point of like, okay, they did all this stuff. He thought he killed the wife and daughter, drove him off the freeway. They crash, all this stuff, right? He goes, he's like, they're dead. And then he's like, nope, they didn't die, whatever. And instead of really, you would think, okay, at this point, let's continue the mission. I'll get back to this later. He just can't let it go. He can't. And it gets, for me, that's always like, all right, dude, like, go to it later, do your other job, and then come back for your revenge. And then he just starts shooting all his own guys. And then I was just like, all right, now he's a cartoon. Now he's a little too much of like a cartoon villain. So I was with him for 90% of it. The last 10%, for me, I didn't love it. I still give him a 4, though. He was good. He could have been amazing, but for me, he ended up being just very good.
Okay. Evan?
I'm giving him a 4. So I agree with Nate. The one thing I really do love about when you do a good villain is I don't really need to know his complete backstory of why he's doing this. We get none of that. He's doing it. He had a brother who's also doing it. His brother dies, and that's all we need for him to go over the edge. We don't need to hear about his family upbringing and all that other stuff, why he's in the... We just get that, and we get the truth. But there are just... He doesn't get a 4 because it's like there's some parts of it just doesn't make sense, and he just... I think you said cartoonish. Like when some of the lines he says and how he... You know, Sean Bean is kind of... finding himself as an actor, as this thing, you could kind of tell it. And he knows that this is a big role for him in America, you know, and you could, he doesn't completely, but there's nothing wrong with it. And I don't like the female in this movie. If we include like the other two, The female drives me insane. She just irks me. There's only one reason she's in there is when Harrison Ford could see a satellite and then go say tits. And then they find the spot. That's literally, she's in the plot line for that.
Oh, and for that other girl with a swinger ponytail. And he'd be like, that's her.
Oh, yeah.
That's he had a ponytail. That's her. I remember.
But I think that they just throw away those characters. Like, okay, they're trying to kidnap him to ransom. What do they want? What are they ransom? What do they just want more money? Like, we kind of lose the overall arc of that, and there's just focus. So I think there could have been a more balance, but I think it's strong. There's nothing wrong in the sense of like, I could watch it. It's enjoyable. So it's a solid 4 for me.
Yeah. When it comes to Sean Bean as Shane Miller, it's weird. I do agree with you guys. I gave him a 4. I wasn't too crazy with him. He was good, but there was some parts in the film that I was like, come on, man. Like, for instance, when they're in the courtroom and he gets up and he goes, you're not going to get away with this. And he's just looking at him. And I'm like, in a real action movie, the dude would have punched him in the face. Like, once you get to the guy's, like, I mean, even with Jack arms like this, you're going to get decked. Like, whatever. I didn't like that because I was just like, this is so, like, just so corny. Like, I thought it was as corny. And the second one that deducted for me was the highway scene when they're driving the van and she pulls up with the car and he's shooting. And I mean, this dude laid out like 18,000 shots, and I'm like, she didn't even get shot once. Like, I mean, one bullet did not even hit her at all.
In the
like,
desert, and he's hitting headshots from far away. You're right.
I agree. I was just like, come on. I was like, this is so far fetched. And
he had to buy his gun in like Detroit, so it might have not had a straight aim.
Detroit gun,
I guess. I mean, you have that, and then like, I agree with Nate. Like, and then the scene at the end when they're trying to take over his house, like all this stuff, and I agree with Nate with the whole like, we gotta get Jack Ryan. First of all, once you find out he's CIA, you're not touching the guy. Like, whatever, you can do whatever you want. Like, he's CIA. Well, he was former CIA. It doesn't even matter. You're not touching this dude with a 10-foot pole. He had his shot when he tried to kill the kid and the wife. It didn't work. But he kept pushing on and on. And I was just like, come on. But other than that, he was really good.
Especially because the other guy they really wanted was in the house. They literally could have still done their job and he could have got, but no, he became overly focused and it made him too one-dimensional. I think Evan kind of put it that
I like that word. He was one-dimensional. Yeah. And the fact is like it made Harrison Ford's performance as Jack Ryan way better. Because it was just like, you know what I mean? Like, if you had a villain that was equally balanced with Harrison Ford, you would have had an awesome villain to hero ratio. But you don't. Like, Jack just superiorly took over the movie.
He was there to serve Harrison and make him better.
To catapult him.
Yeah, they were not equals at all.
Nope, not at all. But all right, there you go. 4 across the board on this
still
one,
good,
right?
Though. Still good.
Oh, you know, yeah, great. Okay.
I'm interested for this section. You ready?
I am very interested because this might go 3 different scores. 2 maybe. 2 out of the 3 might be different. Mm. I don't know. Okay, action scenes. Evan, take it away.
It is perfect for the film, but I was not like, I think you already said it with the gun. You kind of stole that. Like, these guns automatically work sometimes, but often don't work at the same time. The boat scene, while kind of cool, was also kind of lame. It's like, the whole like suspense of her not having shells and then the turn on the light later and because they're on stuff. It's like you have like all these like almost amazing things, but it never quite delivers for me. So I'm a solid 3 on it. I had a good time. There's nothing really wrong with it, like I said, for the film itself. But if we're comparing it to other action movies, which I was, I feel that it falls short and I ended up at a 3.
Okay. It's not bad. It's not bad. All right, Nate.
Just so you know, Evan, I compare every action movie to every other action movie. That's the only way I can do it. I can't just be like, well, for this, nope. How does it on the landscape? We've done 300 movies where? It's funny
and
you mentioned.
And in that time period of 90s.
Yeah, that I will consider when it's made. Yeah. But then beyond that, it's against everything. It's funny you mentioned the boat scene because you're not in our Patreon group chat, but I literally put in there, Alex, this movie, because I was just watching it. And I was like, this movie got the action movie guy's classic. It's a boat chase. I don't know why we've done so many movies with boat chases in them. And I'm sure we're going to do many more. There's a boat chase. And Alex is like, yeah, in a hurricane. And I'm like, yeah, what? Listen, these people were ill-prepared for this crazy monsoon storm that just all of a sudden happens out on the water. I will say, it's well shot. I thought the boat chase was well shot. The direction in this is very good. Philip Noyce. He's the director. And he's done a lot of solid movies, thrillers. And this feels like an action thriller because it has the 90s thrillery elements with sprinkles of action. This has more action than The Hunt for Red October. And you know what's weird about it? It has the feel of a very 90s action movie, but with like a lot less action than you would think it would have, if that makes sense. Like,
no, I get it.
Yeah, the music is really action-y. You get these setups like we're about to get an, and then you don't. And then you just get more like analyzing and talking. It was fine. It doesn't hurt the film, but it hurts the action category for our podcast. So you get really, what do you get? A crazy nighttime boat chase. I do like the scene when they come in the house, but even that, it's not really action. It's more like suspense, more like cat and mouse type stuff. You get him punching some people. He shoots the brother. There's not a
you
lot
get the
of
the royal holding the punching the guy.
Yeah, there's that. There's a punch in, and there's the highway scene where the guy can't hit a he can't hit a car that he's 8 feet away from, even though he could hit a target that's, you know, 300 yards away in the desert. Good, well-filmed car chase, well-filmed boat chase, well-filmed everything. I agree. I gave it a 3, though.
Okay, I guess I'm gonna be the one.
There we go. Here we go.
This is it. This is it. The action for this film, I'm giving it a 5.
Okay.
Minus 2 to a 3. Because let me tell you, this is such a 3 action movie.
It is. It's the most 3.
It is math. Like, it is crazy. This is the most 3 that I saw in any action movies that we did. Like, once I finished the movie, I said, this shit is a 3. Like, I can't even go higher than a 3. And I'm going to tell you guys why, okay? That boat scene, first of all, Nate's right. That hurricane came out of the blue. There was no forecast when they were putting this party together. They're going, there's going to be a chance of rain or some shit. It was just straight crazy hurricane wind.
Chance of monsoon.
On the coast.
Yeah.
On the coast.
On the coast.
Yeah. And the royals there and all the guards are saying, yeah, we're good with this.
We're
fine.
Yeah. So you got that. But my thing with the boat scene, there was no epic straight driving the boat. It was just a straight away out to the open ocean, which I kind of understood that he was drawing them away from the house. And I was like, okay, I get it. But I was like, it was not like no
it was nighttime.
Yeah. It was like, no, like they could have hit a rock that was like 50 feet. It is what it is. But then that fight between them on that boat was just so lackluster. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I don't know. It didn't work for me as much, but we did get a boat. And I was like, okay, that's cool. That highway scene always pisses me off because she could have survived and went off the right shoulder, but she just continued going into the barricade. Yeah. It reminded me of Austin Powers when the guy is screaming to get squashed and it was like 5 feet away. That's what it reminded me of. Yeah, he couldn't move.
Lucky she didn't have a dash cam, she'd probably be at fault on the insurance.
She would be at fault on that one.
You just like a straight line, lady.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. I was like, she's driving a Porsche that could handle the speed that she's doing, but she decides to ram into the water barrier. But anyway, I didn't like that highway scene as much. I did enjoy the beginning of the movie the most when they did the abduction attempt and Harrison Ford came to the action. I liked that scene a lot. I thought it was pretty cool. Well done. Other than that, like throughout the movie, I enjoy the pieces that they put. For me, it wasn't as crazy, like, wow, like, this is amazing action. It was just it was just good action.
It was regular. This movie is very it was regular in the action
and
department.
It reminded me of, we didn't do it yet, but once I started to think about it, it reminded me of Air Force One, this type of action. We haven't done it in this
we
movie.
Are, don't worry, again, I have it on the list.
Yeah, eventually. It just reminds me of that type of action. Like, I was just like, man, this is very Air Force One-y. Like, it had some attempts at good action scenes, but it didn't execute it very well because of Harrison's age. And it was just like, but
get off my plane.
Yeah, get off my, I mean, other than that, I had to give it a 3 because I was like, this is a 3.
Fun fact, Robert, one of our Patreon members, said this was filmed on the Paramount lot. Me and Robert we went to the Paramount lot and we saw the big empty tank where the guy was like, this is what they filled with water and filmed all these things. And I'll tell you what, I could tell why this boat chase was only what it was, because it's not that big. Like, it's like, it's big, but it's not that big. So they're probably just going in little circles around it over and over.
Yeah. Or it was stood still and with the wind. wind and water blasting.
They would just
them.
Show them like go straight down it yeah. and then reset and then go straight down it.
That's why you needed the hurricane, because you could edit very easy. Yeah. This is when the lightning strikes. We're okay.
We'll never know.
Yeah. Because there's a lot of stuff with this film that I was just like, okay, all right, whatever. All right, fine. It is fine. What it is. All
right. And he dies the at the end, right, Sean?
Yeah, he gets Sean slammed into that anchor. Oh, yeah, that's true,
too. And blows up at the same time. Yeah, so, okay. Three across the board, storyline, neat.
I like it. I thought it was good. I give it a 4. I like the story in this movie. I was into it. So while the action's pretty regular, the movie's good. I enjoyed this movie. It had a good energy. It had good pacing. I'm a sucker for, I love 90s films. This feels more 90s to me than The Hunt for Red October did. Just in like the overall aesthetics and everything about it. Hunt for Red October, you could have told me it was the 90s. You could have told me it was 1987. I wouldn't believe you. Yeah, it's fine. It doesn't hurt it, but this just feels 90s. So I like that. Again, Harrison Ford is good. I like the storyline. I like the, even though, like I mentioned, this felt like part 4 instead of part 2 because of the whole retired and all that. It didn't hurt it. I do like that. You know, they wanted him back. He's like, no, I'll just do speeches at the college. And then he's like, I want back in. Let me in. Just so he could use their computers and crap it. Do all this. Because then this is pretty much a guy wanting revenge versus a guy just trying to stop the other guy's revenge. I don't think he really cared too much about, honestly, he didn't care too much about the royal and all that. He's like, I got to stop this guy. I'm going to get him. And I like that. Again, I like the family aspect. Alex, I agree with you. I thought all of it was very well done. All of it. The relationship seemed good. They had good chemistry. The daughter, I love that stuff. Again, like at the hospital when he's reading with her and all, like, very good. I wish there was more James Earl Jones, you know, missed opportunity to have him really involved more. Samuel Jackson pops up. That was cool. But overall, yeah, I thought this was good. I was into it. And I gave it a 4.
All right, Evan, what you got?
The book is a little bit different in a sense of, that is known because Jack Ryan does not kill Sean's character in the book, and is world known because everyone who's reads the book and go, why doesn't he kill him? He has the opportunity, he does. And that kind of defines Jack Ryan as a character, as that he will go only so far, but he will not break the law. He will not take revenge. He's a good guy. He's going to fight all these future corruptions also inside his government and outside his country. So it sets a tone. So I'm always torn about that aspect of it, but if I look at it as a movie itself confined to this movie, I love it. I think it's perfect. It's perfect. And there's the reason because of that is why Todd does not come back to direct this, because he's Irish American. So he felt it was not right for him to direct this film. So that's why he steps away from direction, the second one, but he's still involved. Tom Clancy didn't approve of this storyline. And then when he finally saw the finished product, then ended up approving it, because you got enough analyzing and you get all that little Harrison Ford reading and looking at pictures and doing all that stuff. But I think you get everything you want. You get Harrison Ford yelling at people. You get Samuel Jackson, can't go wrong with him in the movie. You got James Earl Jones, and you have a great storyline. You have family. You have family lost by even the bad guy. You kind of have sympathy for him. You have kind of this like mystery of what's going on, if they're going to do it. And this is a perfect 90s film. This is where I feel like this is where 90s start to get their feel with these type of films. And I loved it. I gave it a 5. I don't know. As a movie, I think it's, you can't go wrong with this storyline.
Yeah. I mean, storyline wise, well, that's the funny thing. Like, you brought up the IRA, and I like that part. Mm-hmm. And I think to me that catapulted Jack Ryan for me. And I always say Patriot Games is one of my favorite ones in the lot, is the scene when he goes to the bar and he's like, mm-hmm. get me Shane Miller. And he's like, weren't you doing this, Handy Bye Bye? And I was like, what the hell? And then all of a sudden, he's like, I will take the fucking camera into my daughter's room. And he goes, and then when he cursed, I said, this is it. This is my favorite Jack Ryan. What did he say? He was like, I'll fucking bury you.
I will destroy you. That's what he says.
Yeah. I will fucking destroy you because he cursed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, I'll fucking destroy you. And I was like,
I love that scene. That was great.
Like, yeah. And then I like the human side of Jack Ryan. Yes, you do get the action part of him or whatever, but I always like the analyst set part, like the whole looking up information and them going through videos and all that stuff. And even when he thinks he got it, James L. Jones is like, well, I can't bomb just a camp because you see tits on the screen. Like, you got to let me know concrete evidence that this is her. And he's like, son of a bitch.
He gave Jack Ryan a chance to say yes. He goes, are you certain? If you say yes, I'm doing it. But it was Jack Ryan says, no, I can't. So they had that friendship that you see on screen that is played well in that scene.
Yeah, and I like it. I thought, you know, Evan's right. It has everything you want. You got action. You do got the acting. And I think everybody's role in the film is what makes this movie. I think everyone acted very well in this film. I like it a lot. My only gripe is that this dude is a royal. Man, at the end of the movie, these dudes are storming a house. And I'm like, oh, this is the thing that got me tight. He put the silent alarm in his house, right? Yeah. And these dudes took 10 years to respond to a break-in. And I'm like, I would have changed my security. Like, security alarm. You
have like mega secret service, like crazy. Yeah. Someone like that. They had security, but it wasn't like extreme.
No. And there's a royal there. They would have had mass people there. This dude set off his alarm before these dudes crashed in the house to get people to come here. And it took them an additional 30 minutes to come. Even they had the Coast Guard come and they didn't even know which way they were going until they saw an explosion. I was like, yeah, it was just like some stuff is just like so funny and far-fetched. I agree. I liked it all. I gave it a 5.
Do you know the original tagline that was being advertised for this film was there hasn't been a terrorist attack on U.S. soil until now. And they realized maybe we shouldn't have that. Because we are like welcoming, maybe are we enticing others to attack us? So like some of that stuff that I kind of forgave too, because it's like we're not used to terrorists in America in the 90s that early. We're not used to Secret Service was not as big in the 90s as it is. It was growing into what it was. And so it's so funny when you watch older movies, what they find important to get details right. And Secret Service was not one of them because I don't think it was a part of Americans' lexicon for movie watching at that time.
Yeah.
Secret Service, they're a secret. Don't.
Yeah. All right. So that's a 5 for me, 5 for Evan, 4 for Nate. Okay. Overall.
Who goes? Is it me?
You.
I gave it because it's an action movie podcast. Okay, I normally would say overall it's a 5. But because this is an action movie podcast, I have to knock it down because the action was not superb. So it's getting a 4 as an overall movie. And that's my reason.
All right, Nate.
Well said, because I have the same exact score. I thought this was a 4. And similar reasoning. You know, we do filter everything through the lens of action. Sometimes we'll watch a movie that's so good that it doesn't matter. It will have like 0 action and would be like 5 movie. This ain't one of them. I thought it was good. Very good. I enjoyed it for a first time watch. I'm a sucker for 90s. I'm a sucker for, you know, a good thriller. I love, it has not a lot of action. So I was going to say, I love action, but this doesn't have a ton. Again, the main aspect that keeps it back for me is the whole villain thing, their motivations, how they approach it, how the film approaches it, how it gets so one-dimensional, how it switches from something kind of cool to just abandoning it and be like, nope, I gotta get Jack Ryan. That's it. I just gotta get him. And I like the personal aspect. The first movie doesn't have that. There is no... Jack Ryan does not have a personal stake in what's happening. It's a job. He is working. This one is totally personal. It's like the opposite. He is literally personal. And I always like that, but I wish there was a more balance. You know, if they could have made it where it is a job and within the job, something personal happens, I probably would have liked it better. But because of that, I gave it a 4. I enjoyed this movie and I had a good time watching it.
Yeah, I gave this movie a 4 also. I think I agree with Evan. For me, the action is just good. It's not crazy. And other than that, I just like the story a lot. It's a great sequel, prequel in terms of the film itself. But I enjoyed it. I like Harrison Ford a lot. So for me, I gave it a great. It's still a great film and it still holds up even when you watch it.
It's the only rated R one. So there you go. The rest are PG-13. This one got some F-bombs, got a little more violence. Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Got kind of a sex scene.
Yeah, a little bit of a sex scene when that guy's like, she's licking that guy and then she kills him. I said, whoa, what is this? Rated R. And then
All right, here we go. Evan, total points.
22.5, a 0.5 lower than Red October.
Nice. Ooh. Nate.
He said, I'm going to make sure this gets half a point less. I got a 20.
Maybe. I maybe said, they're both 23. That can't be.
Don't be. 20 out of 25 for me.
I got a 21 out of 25. I mean, this movie is just, it still holds up. And I tell people, go pick it up. I mean, pick up the first two. You don't even have it. They have a 5-pack.
That's what I have. I have the 5-pack on Blu-ray. Easy. They all look good. I don't have 4Ks, but I can't imagine, you know, they look good for Blu-ray, so...
Yeah. The 4Ks look great. I have them on 4K. All right, here we go. Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
All right. So next episode, Evan, our buddy, will be back for our continuation of Cops and Robbers Month. And we're going to be doing a little movie called 21 Bridges, starring Chadwick Boseman and some other good actors that pop up in that movie as well. And then next week, I'm going to be honest. Now that I've watched this one, I'm pretty excited because next week, we're going to be watching Clear and Present Danger. And you get most of the same. Philip Noyce is back directing. Harrison Ford's back. And Archer's back. Also, I saw Willem Dafoe in the cast list, and I said, well, I can't wait to watch this movie. I don't even know what he does, but I love that guy. So that's going to be the next one in the Jack Ryan series. And he will not be here for that. We will have another guest, Jay. He will be joining us to review that one.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to reveal what he does in the movie.
Don't tell me, but I don't want to know.
I'm not going to say nothing. No. All right, Evan, let everyone know where they can find you.
YouTube and Instagram at PopCulture33.
All right, there you have it, guys. You guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow the Action Movie Guys on Instagram at Geeks and Flicks. Now, all our lives are now handled at Netflix Reviews Instagram channel. That's Nate's channel. You guys can follow us live there every other week. And of course, after that, you can follow him and his friends. They sit down and they talk about movie reviews, all that jazz, and check out the podcast with him and his friend called Netflix Movie Reviews. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out. We'll be right back.